You know, honestly, folks, this is from my heart. There is so many things to be said, and they're so beautiful, so wonderful, until it bothers me a lot of times to open the Bible knowing that I won't be able to say them because time won't permit. You know, I'm going to say this. I like to talk with you. You're my people, and I like to talk with you, just reason with you and talk with you. Thank you, John. Most people study the Bible to learn. They study the Bible to learn. But that's not the way to do it. It doesn't tell you to study the Bible to learn. Though God wants us learned in all things, but that's not the way to study the Bible. We're taught that we should study the Bible. Paul said, study to show thyself approved. And we study not to learn, but to show ourselves approved. Now, let's don't have any bad spirits in the house of God. You just, when you do that, young folks, you're just going to wind up putting your babies in a casket, watch and see. Don't do that as sure as you live. You'll put them in a casket. My sister today has been in just about a dying condition. I told her here a while back. Death was on a trail, and she wouldn't listen at me. She's a young girl. I saw death strike a girl last night. I was on my knees praying, and I saw the death angel sweep through last night, and it was a young woman. It struck her, and it took her. Wasn't nothing wrong with her. The people was absolutely amazed and shocked because she went out like that. Don't be foolish. Don't be foolish. Whatever you do, don't be foolish. Don't rebel against me because I'm trying to help you and love you. Don't take the road of a fool. One of the young boys back here made a statement before they cut his hair, they put him in a casket. That's crazy. That's foolish. Don't you know that God will put you in a casket? Don't ever do things like that. I love you and want to help you, but don't be foolish. You're not playing with Brother Pike. You're messing with God. Y'all keep your family affairs at home and don't come here fighting in the church. All right, now, you love the Lord? All right, now, I want to help you, and I want to speak to you, but the Bible said open rebukes are better than secret love. I just have to call you out by name if you start that in the house of God. I just got through telling you we're not going to have it. It's my job to do that. Jesus took a whip, turned over the table to the money changers, and drove them out. He wouldn't have it. So the house of God is to be called the house of prayer. Enter into His courts with thanksgiving. Have a heart of thanksgiving. Come into His courts with praise. If your heart isn't full of praise and thanksgiving, you're on dangerous ground when you're in the sanctuary of God. All right? Now, we study to show ourselves approved. You follow me? To show ourselves approved. All right, now, to show ourselves approved. Under who? Not under men. Somebody said, well, I'm trying to learn, Brother Pike, so everybody will know what I'm... They can tell what I know. No, that's not right. The Bible said to show yourself approved unto God, not unto man. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The Bible said, how can you have honor of God when you seek honor one of another? If you're waiting for my applause and the people's applause, how are you ever going to have honor of God? I want God's applause. Like I spoke of Elvis Presley, he's got the applause of the people. The people are wild about him, but he doesn't have one applause from God. Not one applause does he have from the angelic host, nor from the saints of God. Not one. He's wasting his life in the lust of the flesh to reap nothing from it. But I want the applause of God. I want the honor that comes from God. I'm seeking eternal honor. And the Bible gives honor to whom honor's due. So we study to show ourselves approved, not to see how much we can learn, but to see if God will bring into our hearts the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Now, I might learn a little something about the Scripture if I study. But what we want is the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ doesn't just know about the natural letter. The mind of Christ is something that is a great thing that expands from everlasting to everlasting, and it reveals to us the revelation of the letter. It is something that can tell you your name, tell you your heart, tell you your life, tell you what you've done and what you're going to do, tell you what has been and what's coming and what's going on now. The mind of Christ, there's no way to learn that. How are you going to learn that out of a book? It's a mind that speaks to you. We are seeking, we are studying and praying that we might eventually emerge into that mind and go into that mind, and that mind might become part of us and we part of that mind. Not to see how much we can learn. Solomon said, much study causes weariness of the flesh. But we are studying to show ourselves approved, that we might be possessed of this mind, and this mind might possess us. And then after a while, it's not us that live, but it's Christ that lives within us. If you had a way of taking a dog's mind and putting it into a lion, the lion would walk around and he would think like a dog and he would act like a dog. He'd find himself trying to bark like a dog. If you could take the lion's mind and put it into a dog, the dog would be walking around like a lion, trying to roar and growl like a lion. And if God can take the mind of Jesus Christ and put it in us, we'll walk around acting like Jesus and thinking like Jesus and being like Jesus. And there'll be another life, for a mind is a spirit and a spirit is a life. There'll be another life that'll be living in our body, and our body will be living by means of another life. The impulse of our heart and the dictates of our heart will be from the mind of Christ. And it will be no longer we that live, as Paul said, but it's Christ that liveth within us. And the life we live with the Son of God, bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. And a nature which is a mind or a spirit or a life, it reproduces after its kind. And if my nature reproduces after my kind, then the nature of Jesus Christ, where we are partakers of the divine nature, it will reproduce after its kind. For it is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is what we've got to do, folks. We've got to understand. The Bible said, my people perish from the lack of understanding. How many people are spending their time trying to learn, trying to see how much that they can know and how much they can learn and add understanding to understanding? But that's not the way. That's not the way. Don't come in here with a mind of suspicion. You aggravate the life out of me when you do that. When you come into my services, I feel that just like ants crawling over my body. When you come in here with covetous spirits, lust spirits, contrary spirits, evil desires, concupiscence, all of the evils of life, I feel those things just crawling over my flesh. And they aggravate me. The Bible said Lot was vexed by their evil conversations down in Sodom and Gomorrah. Don't come in here that frame of mind. That's a mind. That's a spirit. That's a life. That's a demon. That's a parasite. It interrupts the organized body of Jesus Christ. And when one member suffers, they all suffer. And it interrupts the program of God. Some of you young men that are making smart remarks about your wives, some of you newlyweds, making smart remarks about you don't love them, you wish you hadn't married them. You watch what I'm telling you. One day God is going to get you. He's going to pull that little wife away from you, and you'll beg and cry and weep before you ever get her back. And some of you young ladies that take the same attitude, that you wish you hadn't married, you don't want to obey your husband, you don't honor him, and listen to everybody but him, someday God's going to tear you up for it. Now you watch and see. Your day is coming, so you better do right. The Bible said not to deal treacherously against the wife of thy youth, for God hateth putting away. Don't you never deal wrong with your wife. You love her and cherish her like your own body. Don't you scold her, speak to her temperamental, and say mean things to her. There's sometimes that you are required to raise your voice at her and at the children to snap her to attention, just like any general in the army. There's times when you've got to do that because she's weak and she'll just wander off anywhere if you don't. You can't say just don't do that. The Bible said Abraham would command his household after him. But don't you ever be abusive, and don't you ever have a mean spirit and a mean attitude when you speak to her. because God will get you. Don't you ever correct one of your children when you're angry and mean and mad and beat him. Don't you ever do it. Some of you beat him unmerciful. God will tear you up one day for it. Don't you ever do it. That's not your child. That's his child. That's his creation. That's his human being. He just made you a steward over that little fella until he can get big enough to where God can handle him. And you better be a good steward. Mother, the little child doesn't belong to you. You're just a steward over it, to raise it. It's like the woman that took Moses down there and raised him up. Pharaoh's daughter took Moses and raised him up till he was of age. You're just a steward over that little child. You're to watch over him until God calls for him. And you better treat him right. You better not abuse him. He's God's little Jesus. And you better treat him like that. Somebody said, well, he might be a little devil. The Bible said, of such is the kingdom of God. Until he comes to the age of accountability and steps out of the garden of life, he's still in the presence of God. And don't you abuse him. I feel it's needful sometimes just to take a few minutes and say these things to you. To let you know how to run your house and how you ought to live and what you ought to do. The Lord wants to help you and he wants to bless you. But whatever you do, don't abuse the little child. The Lord will take him away from you. God see you abusing him, and one day God will reach down and take him and take him over to his house, and he won't let him come back. All right, I want to read in the 10th chapter of the 1 Corinthians, and I probably won't get into much, just talk with you some, just to, in other words, because it is the young folks' service. Now, the Lord is wanting to say something to us tonight. I don't know what it is. I don't never know what it is. But he tells me when he wants to say something to us. And we come to church and we're so used to the preacher preaching and going through ritualistics and doing different things till we never know that there's such a thing as a living God who actually speaks to humanity. But now tonight he's done let me know he wants to say something to you. It might not be but a few words. But there's something he wants to tell you. Now if he does, then you'll have to listen real close or you won't never know when I'm talking and when he's talking. You won't never know what was said. It'll just pass on. But the Bible said, let him that hath an ear. Everybody don't have an ear to hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Let the one that hath an ear, if you've got a spiritual ear, Jesus having ears, you hear not. He said, having eyes, ye see not. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant. How that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Now here when it says in the cloud and in the sea, it means in the Holy Ghost and in water. Moses the prophet likened to Jesus. They were all baptized in the Red Sea unto the prophet likened to Jesus. A type of baptism in his name and in the cloud, a type of the baptism of the Spirit. And did all eat the same spiritual meat, that is, they partook of the Word of God. And did all drink the same spiritual drink. Jesus said, my blood is drank indeed. That means the Spirit, the water of life. For they drank of that spiritual rock, that's Jesus. That spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the carnal mind, the wilderness. Your carnal mind is a wilderness. Many of them will die before they make it through their own carnal reasoning to the mind of Christ, which is Canaan land. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our example to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel, after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles and that eat, asking no questions for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat. Asking no questions for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man? It's conscience. For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. All right, in the 11th verse of the 23rd, 11th chapter of the 23rd verse of Hebrews, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Now, I'm not going to try to get into a message tonight. That's why I read as much as I did. But I want you to notice something. That the thing that we talked about tonight, that is in reading, the thing that the emphasis was placed upon is Moses. Now, when we speak of a proper child, some of us don't know what a proper child is. Years ago, they called a person a proper child if he was If there seemed to be anything spiritual about him, maybe when he was born, the light was over his head, or some outstanding thing, some outstanding characteristics would show forth in his life and show that he was altogether different from other men, that his desire was different, and that he had a desire to be something that was spiritual rather than something that was of the world. And they'd say, this is a proper child. In other words, people would begin to observe him and watch him, watch his ways and watch what he did. See, because they believed that he was different. They believed that he was a proper child. And they'd keep their eyes on him because they knew that if he was a proper child, then it was a visitation of God in the earth. And they'd watch him. Now, they don't do that today. People are not aware of anything today. They don't watch things today. But back there, they knew that there was something different in a certain person's life. And they'd keep their eyes on him, and they'd watch what he'd done. And they wanted to hear what he said, and they wanted to know his mannerism of life and the direction and course of life that he took. The reason for this, they felt nearer to God, and they felt a security, and they felt like that inasmuch as this was a man that was different from the other people, that it was a visitation from God in the earth, and that some way or another God was trying to say something to him. But they got away from that as the days went on. They got away from it. And in the days of Jesus, they did not give heed to the Lord Jesus when he came. And because of that, having got away from those things, when the Lord came, finally the Lord left him with a saying that before God visits you again, that you will say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. The days of the Gentiles is coming to a close. We're on the verge of the closing dispensation of the Gentiles. A lot of people say, well, the days of the Gentiles will be over when this happens. Another person will say the days of the Gentiles will be over when this happens. But the days of the Gentiles are over when God turns back to the Jews. According to the book of Revelation, when the blood comes off of the mercy seat, the days of the Gentiles are finished. And the blood comes off of the mercy seat when God gets ready to turn back to the Jews. That's when it comes off. I see something happening. Now, if Brother William Branham is right in his prediction, he said that 77 held the great calamity for the United States, that the United States would completely be blown to bit and be in ashes by the year of 77. That's just around the corner, isn't it? If we're planning to do something for God, then why do we keep procrastinating? Why do we keep putting it off? If God in this age is paying us a visit, why don't we recognize the people that God is sending in the age that we're living in, that we might find God in peace when the Lord comes back? Why don't we do it? But we don't do that, do we? We don't heed the Lord. We're so determined in our heart to find what we want and to do the things the way that we want to do it and go the way that we want to go until God just sends evangelist after evangelist. It's just a routine thing. But God is visiting the earth in the day that we're living in. The God Jehovah has come down to visit the earth. The Bible said in the evening time that God walked in the cool of the evening. Hallelujah. And during that time, God was searching for somebody. He was looking for somebody. He walked in the cool of the evening and he was searching for somebody. Why was he searching for somebody? Because somebody had got lost that he had one time had fellowship with, Brother Bill. There had been somebody at one time that God had had relation with, he'd had fellowship with, and there was an ultimate relationship, a close relationship with God, and something that God had lost in the earth. Is that right? He came searching for it. Samson lost something. In his day, he married a woman among the Philistines. And then when things went wrong, he had to leave her. And he went off. And he in his heart, he wasn't going to go to her anymore. Because he was upset at her. He was disturbed at her. And he didn't want to be around her anymore. And he determined in his heart, he just wouldn't go around her anymore. But the Bible said in the time of harvest, at the time of harvest, his bowels begin to yearn within him. And the longing for his wife. There's something begin to happen to him. He had had companions with somebody that God, that Samson, had to go look for. There was something he wanted that was missing that he had known at one time in his life. There was a fellowship. There was a closeness. There was something that he had to find that he had lost. It was his companion. He came to look for in the days of the harvest. God has had a relation. He has had a feeling. He's had a love. He's had a nearness. There's somebody that he was close to. Now we think of the Jews as being the apple of God's eye, and yet they're cast away. They've been taken away, and they're cast out of the mind of God until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. But see, there was a closeness to Jesus and the 12 apostles. There was a closeness to Jesus and the Jews. He walked with them. He talked with them. He sat at the table with them. He sat there with his brother James and them, the natural brothers he had, like you and I've got. He had natural brothers and sisters there that he enjoyed being with. I never had much time to spend with them. And so then, now in the evening time, God comes to say, Adam, where art thou? Adam, one time we've been good friends. One time we've talked. One time we reasoned together. Eve, we've sat down together and reasoned together. Like one big family. But now, where are you? What's happened to you? Where have you gotten off to? And God is walking through the garden and he's looking. And he's trying his best to find Adam. What's the matter? He's lost. He's got lost off somewhere. He's gone off somewhere. That's right. What happened? Something has happened. You know what happened? When Eve got over there in the garden and the beast said to her, said, just look, Eve. Just look. And God said, don't mess with the tree of knowledge. Don't mess with the tree of knowledge. The day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. But the beast kept saying, thou shalt not surely die. Thou shalt not surely die. But God knows in the day that you eat of this tree, your eyes will be open, your understanding will be open, and you'll be as gods. Is that right? You'll be as gods. Now then, what was it that happened to Eve? What happened to Adam? The thing that happened to him was they got lost off from God. How did they get lost off from God? Eve already had eyes that could see. When the beast said, in that day, you'll be able to see. Your eyes will be open. Her eyes was already open. She already could see. She had natural eyes. She could see the things around her. She could see. She already had eyes. But the thing that he was speaking of was the eyes of your understanding. Paul said, the eyes of your understanding, being enlightened. In other words, Eve, the day that thou partakest of this, then you'll be able to see into a greater dimension. A greater depths of evil and lust and debauchery and darkness and things you've never known anything about. God said, don't eat thereof. She already had a beautiful knowledge of good, a knowledge of holiness. She was already here in a garden, in a place cut off, like they were down in Egypt back there, in the land of Goshen. She was already in a secluded place, over here saved. She didn't have any evil thoughts. The Bible said they were naked, but they were not ashamed because there was no condemnation, there was no evil, there was no debauchery, there was no filth to infiltrate their minds. But when her understanding came open, then she knew that she was made out of the dust. She knew that she was a creature of the dust, and a great world of difference came between her and her Creator. As long as she walked in the mind of God, she could believe that she was equal to God. As long as she walked in the presence of God, she had the same radiance and beauty that God had. As long as she abided within the garden in the presence of God, there was no condemnation. She never felt inferior to God. She could fellowship God and have a wonderful time in life. But the day that her eyes came open, she began to see naturally. She began to understand naturally. She began to realize that she was of the dust and that there was a great difference between her and God. Her eyes came open in the natural, and when it did, her spiritual eyes closed. when her natural understanding came open, when the eyes of her understanding came open to evil, they closed to good. And that day her faith died. That day condemnation arose, and the confidence of purity, and the confidence of righteousness, and the confidence of being with God without condemnation, it all left her. And condemnation came in. And then her faith died, and she was cut off from that tree of life. How many of you understand that heaven is just one dimension away? It's just another dimension away. When her mind was converted, the eyes of her understanding. That's why that I started off tonight talking with you about your mind being a spirit and being another life. When this mind was converted, when her spirit was converted, then her spirit gave way to another mind, another life. And that life was a life of debauchery. That's the life that had been rejected by God. That's a life that God had no place for in heaven. That was the one that was cast out to be made ruler of the darkness. God cast him out of heaven. It was a mind of debauchery, a mind of evil, a mind that felt the distance between him and God. It was another life that took over the human body. It was a mind that revealed every evil, every infiltration that could ever be placed within the flesh to that human mind to bring it under condemnation and kill the faith. It was another mind. You could safely say that Eve lost her mind. You can safely say that Adam lost his mind. That's what the insane asylums are typical of. People that go down there, they lose their mind. They lose their sanity. They lose their bearing. They lose their balance. And they wind up down here in a mental institution. You follow me? That's what happened to Adam and Eve. That's a type of it. When we get away from God, we've lost our minds. We've got an imbalance. We've got to go back to the high priest and get straightened out again. So then, we want to come back to what? To the Word. Want to come back to the Word. Want to come back to the mind of God. When the mind of God made itself a body. When the Word of God, the mind of God, the Spirit of God made itself a human body, made itself flesh. It came to the people in that day. For what purpose? It came to be an example that the people might look on it, follow it, obey it, desire to be like it. Why? Because it was the way back to eternal life. That was the only way to get back to eternal life. That's all God's ever done. When Jesus came, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by the example, which is the Word. It was the mind that had been lost. It was the mind that had been rejected. It was the pure mind that David spoke of, where he said, stir up thy pure mind. It was the mind that had taken on an embodiment that was tabernacling in a human being, walking the earth, that it could be a testimony, an epistle known and read of all men. That people could observe it, and people could see it, and people could understand it, and people could pattern their life after it, saying, I am the example, following my steps. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. The mind coming into an embodiment, Jehovah tabernacling in a human body, the mind that had been lost, coming down into the world, facing a human being, and standing face to face with the human being, saying, I am what you one time was like. But now look at the difference. Measure yourself by me, the Word. Measure yourself by me, the mind, and see how far you've fallen. Paul said, I was alive. I was alive without the law. But said, when the law of the letter came, when the knowledge of God came, he said, sin got a revival. And when sin or the knowledge of sin revived, he said, condemnation struck my heart because it revealed the impurities of my life. The Word of God revealed the impurities of my life. Said, for sin had wrought all concupiscence within me, in my body, in my flesh, in my degraded part, in the beastly part. He said, there dwelleth no good thing within me. For the will is present within me inside, in that I've been born again. But how to perform that which is good, he said, I can't find it. There is no manifestation of it in my outer man. Christ said, I see another law warring in the members of my body, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, Paul said. How can I ever escape? How can I ever get away from him? Then he got bold and he said, I thank God that God, knowing what the law, the letter, could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, that is, me not being able to perform it, sent his own son in the likeness of a sinful body, a human being, an image, and took that sinful body and nailed it to a tree, that the righteousness of God might be fulfilled within me, in that I walk not after the flesh, nor give place to the things of the flesh, nor do the things. Paul was speaking of being tempted in the flesh. All of these things are presented to me, Paul said. But I yield to none of them. I follow none of them. I go the way of none of them. Because it is an accusation of Satan charging me with impurities that I see in my body. Which impurities I'm not guilty of, Paul said. Because in my inner man, I delight after the things of God. I love to be a Christian. I love to serve God. I love to pray and fast and do the things of God. And he said, this evil mind that wars within my body, it reveals the impurities of my human person and brings me into a bondage, into a captivity. The law, he said, of a letter of death warring in my outer man against the law of the mind of Christ, or my mind, which is the spirit of grace, the law of liberty given me by the atonement of Calvary. I see this great struggle and this great battle. I see this great struggle between the inner and the outer man, the Cain and the Abel. I see it between the depraved and fallen beast and between the inner Son of God. I see the battle. And he said, I don't know what to do about it except to believe in Calvary. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And mortify the deeds of the flesh and turn away from the deeds of the flesh. That the Bible said, there is now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you've been born of the Spirit, he said, the Spirit will quicken your mortal body. If you have not the Spirit, you're none of his. But if you walk in the Word, in the mind, in the life of Christ, in the Spirit, he said, there's no condemnation to you. Though you might stumble, though you might err, though you might have faults, the atonement is for that purpose. That everywhere there's a weak place in the length of the chain, the atonement makes up for it. Like Abe Lincoln said, a chain's no stronger than the weakest link. Well, in our chain, there's no weak links. In my weakness, his strength is made perfect. Therefore, he makes up for it. That's what the atonement's for. The atonement was not for the purpose so I could go on sinning. God forbid, Paul said, how that we that are dead to the sin of this world or life or body sin any longer. How can we do it? He said, as you've yielded your members as instruments unto unrighteousness when you was out there in the world, even now yield the instruments of your body, the members, unto righteousness in God, and walk after the Spirit, and live holy and perfect holiness unto the Lord. Sanctify yourself daily by getting away from the old mind and the old man. How do you understand what I'm saying? So then Moses was the proper child. We're not just another child in the earth. We're not just another beast, another human being, as the world calls it, but we are a proper child. What is the purpose of the proper child? To be a deliverer. To be a deliverer. For the Bible said, I will bring deliverers up upon the mountain. Deliverers in the plural. Let a man know that if he's converted another person, he saved a soul from hell. I will bring saviors, he said. That you become a savior to somebody. You become the Word made flesh, bone of his bone. You become a savior to him. You become a deliverer. And Moses was a proper child. He was a deliverer. He didn't have time to do the things of the world. His heart didn't think like that. His mind didn't function like that. He had no desire like that. There was something driving him on the inside. Because he was raised up for the purpose of delivering the people of God. That's all he lived for. That was the only desire he had. A proper child, you can tell him from somebody else. You can tell him from a church member, or you can tell him from somebody that just says they're a Christian, because there's something in him. And one of the writers said, meditating in his laws day and night, like a tree that's planted by the water, There's something in him that cries daily for fellowship with God. Something that daily cries out for the power of God in his life, the understanding of God, the purities of God in his life, holiness in his life. There's something that's crying. The deep calling into the deep of the water spout of God. Moses was a proper child. Jesus, the mind, once again in a human form, confronting humanity. Why? Because even if they had eaten of the tree of knowledge unto death, now let them turn as the tree of life, walk through the earth. Jesus, the Word, Spirit, life, as the tree of life, walk through the earth, confronting the people. Now as they partaken of the tree of knowledge unto death, now let them partake of the tree of life. For Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. Is that right? They are spirit and they are life. Let them partake of the tree of life now, in the same way that they partook of the tree of death. For he said concerning the garden, now lest they put forth their hands and partake of the tree of life and live forever. Is that right? Now, the tree of life coming. We preached the other night the time of the promise drew near. When the tree of life came, what was the tree of life? Well, what was the tree of death? What was the tree of knowledge? It was a mind. It was a mind. The tree of knowledge. What kind of knowledge? Knowledge is a mind. A mind knowledge of good and evil. Is that right? It was a knowledge. It was a mind. A lot of people say, but that was a tree, Brother Pye. That was a tree. But God likened his people unto trees. When he hung at Calvary there, he told them, said, if they do this to a green tree, saying the trees of God are full of life or sap, what will they do to a dry tree? Be like the tree that's planted by the water. Is that right? Said, Satan, you was the most beautiful tree in the garden. You lifted up, you bound both the others. And God cast him down. Is that right? Check it out in the Garden of Eden. That's the tree that God cast down right there. Was the tree of knowledge. That was the one he put out. Because it disobeyed God. Is that right? It lifted itself up. Are you listening? Are you following me? Now, look at it. Charity edifies because charity is the tree of life. Knowledge puffeth up because knowledge is the tree of death. Is that right? Not to learn, but study to show thyself approved. A workman under God that needeth not to be ashamed. The letter, a mind of death, knowledge, a condemnation. That's what the law was typical of. When the law came, sin revived. Adam said, it killed me. Why? It brought me a knowledge, he said, of evil, of condemnation. I knew nothing of heartaches and condemnation. All I knew, Paul said, was that I was a human being. I could breathe, I could eat, I could enjoy life, I could walk, I could go down to the river, go down to the ocean, enjoy the sunshine. I had no understanding of death. But he said when the law of the letter came and the knowledge came of godliness, then the impurities of my life was revelated to me. And I felt wretched, oh wretched man that I am, Paul said. I felt wretched, I felt miserable. Then I said, Lord, who shall save me from the body or the death of this body? Lord, this body is a living death. Who's going to save me from it? And then the Lord whispered to him and said, Paul, your body is dead by Calvary. I'll never see that Paul that's wretched anymore. But now this is that bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh that I'm beholding. Your spirit at death, Paul, left that body when you were baptized. And that spirit went into the body of Jesus Christ, who is hid in heaven with God. Is that right? Paul, you're no longer in this world. I've chosen you out of this world. You're no longer here. Like I said about the lion, put a mind of a dog in a lion, and what have you got? See, the world is a mind. And the world is in your heart. And as long as that is in your heart, then you're in the world. If the world is a mind, and the mind is in your spirit, and like Clorox in a glass of water intermingled, that mind is intermingled with your spirit. It's a parasite that's sapping your life. That is the world. The Bible said God has placed the world in your heart. The world is in your heart. It's a mind. It lusteth unto envy. The Bible said, know ye not that the spirit within you lusteth unto envy? It lusteth after every passion of the body, every desire.
It lusteth through the human senses. It is a world of iniquity. It is a mind. As long as Eve didn't have this mind, as I said the other night, she had her covering, which was the mind of her husband, her head, her thinker, her thoughts. Is that right? But when she gave way to it, she had another mind. She had other thoughts. She thought different. You understand what I'm saying? Because she falling from Adam was typical of the church falling from Christ. As long as we don't have a word mind called the pure mind, then we have our own understanding, which is a satanic mind, which is a knowledge. And the Bible said we're not to lean to our own understanding, but to believe the Word. Trust in the Word. Faith cometh by the hearing of the Word, not by our own thinking. I want to look at it just for a few minutes, and I'm going to close in just a few minutes. Now look at it. The world is a mind. The world is a spirit. The world is a life. The world is an ambition. Are you listening? It is on the inside of every person that has never been born again. If the love of the world is in you, then the love of the Father is not there. It's not there. If you lean to your own understanding, if you trust in your own confidence, if you do your own thinking, God isn't in you. Are you listening? All right, let's prove it. The Bible said, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Somebody said, Brother Pike, that sounds good, but can you prove it? If I can't prove it, you can't accept it. If you can't prove it by the Word, then you're not to accept it. Is that right? Now look at it. The world is in you. And as long as the world's in you, you're in the world. Is that right? Try walking through that block wall right there. You can't do it. You know why? Because the world is in you. Come on. Come on. The world is in you. That's why. You're looking through the windows of the world. Try walking through it. You can't do it. Why? You understand what I'm saying? Just wait a minute and see. You can't do it. Try walking through the wall. You'll get a knot on your head. You can't do it. Now, you say, Brother Pike, you say if the world is in you, you're in the world. That's right. If the world is in you, then you're in the world. Now, what does that mean? That means that my entire surrounding, my environment, everything, whether it's a galaxy, whether it's the earth, whether it's houses, or cars, or people, whatever it is, what is it? It's a constitution of my mind. Where does sickness come from? Sickness is in a human mind. There is no such thing as a devil. There's no such thing as a Satan. There's no such thing as sickness. Except in the mind of the world. It does not exist. Can I give you an illustration? It's like Atlee. He takes a picture. It has to be a positive, like the garden. Take a picture of the garden scene. Before Adam didn't fail, it was a positive. You take a picture of a human being, that human being's a positive. But before he can ever come up with another positive, he's got to take it through the dark room, isn't that right? Just like I said here teaching one night, when the Jews failed through the fall of Adam and the people failed, humanity failed. What happened to them? They become a negative. They were no longer a positive, but they become a negative. They fell into the dark room. Is that right? When you take a picture, the first thing you do, you expose it to the light, which was the garden scene. But then after that, it's a negative. That's what the world is. People out there are negative. They don't exist. That's right. But it's the constitution of, it's a few atoms thrown together, nothing to them. From the dust that came back to the dust they go. There's nothing to them. They're negative. But we are the positive of God. We're sons and daughters of God. And we're passing through the dark room. Reckoning time from evening to morning, we're passing through it. When you get down to Calvary where the blood is spilt, you see the red light that Atlee uses in there. In the dark, there has to be a red light. Jesus said, the light of the world, the blood shining. Going through the dark age over there. Through the church ages, coming on down through there. What is it? It's developing a positive to bring out in the end time an image of a Son of God, the manifestation of the sons of the living God. In the dark age, passing through the carnal mind of darkness to come out with a positive again. Is that right? That's what we're doing now, passing through. Abraham said, not with his pilgrims and strangers. We don't belong in this world. We're seeking a city. So then, passing through the dark room, coming on through, being developed, God developing us down through the church ages. Well, what's going to happen to the negative? Look, the negative only exists because there is intellectual darkness. You follow me? There is an intellectual darkness out there. It's a spirit of Satan. Going through the dark ages, through the dark room, through the negative night of evil and contrariness, where devils and demons live and crawl and walk. What is it? Reckoning time from evening until morning. And what is it? I want to prove a point. God wants to say something to you. I want to prove a point. But give me a few minutes. Now look at it. Going through a dark night, a dark room. Those people don't exist. Have you ever looked at a negative? Hold a negative up in the light. It's only an image outline that is formed because of the darkness. You can't form an image unless you've got darkness. You take light, wherever light is, how are you going to tell where light is? You got to hem it up with some darkness. That's the only way to tell where light is. In other words, Jesus being the light of the world. How can the light of the world be expressed? Through the human intelligence of darkness. God veiled himself in the darkness. That's why the fall came in the garden. Because light can't be seen. Light can't be comprehended unless it takes on a shell of darkness. How can you tell where light is unless there's something that's less light around it? You cannot see a light. Somebody said, you must be foolish, Brother Pine. No, I'm not. Look at the light right here on this tower. That's a bright little light. Why is it bright? Because it is brighter than its surrounding area, its environment. That's why it can be seen. Somebody said, well, I don't believe that. All right, if that's not true, take it out there and put it in the face of the noonday sun and see where it went to. Take the stars at night, you can see them. Because their framework is the darkness. But let the day star come out, which is the sun. Where did they go to? Somebody said, well, they left. They didn't leave nowhere. They're still up there. It's just the light so much brighter till you can't see them. That's the way Christ is. He's coming in his glory, destroying the image of perversion, the image of perdition from an inward revealing of the Spirit of God coming into the outer man, destroying this outer image of perdition with the brightness of his coming. All of us being alike, but emerging into one bone of bone and flesh of flesh is one body. Can't see us for the brightness of him when he swallows us up. We're just part of the great light. The darkness, what is it? What is it? The negative is a darkness. Carnal images, carnal darkness. It is a darkness. We are passing through the darkness. God said to Abraham, cleave the animals open, lay them here. And then a great darkness came down over Abraham. And a voice said, Abraham, Abraham. And the Bible said Abraham fell into a deep sleep. And the darkness came over him. What kind of sleep? They that be drunken, be drunken in the night. They that be awake in the daytime. They that sleep, sleep in the night. They're in a deep, dark slumber. They've never awakened to eternal life. The Bible said, awake, thou that sleepest, and I shall give thee light. What is it? A darkness. Abraham, thy seed shall sojourn in a darkness, in a land of bondage. What kind of bondage? That since the fall of the light mind of God, it has gone into a shell. It has gone into a beastly framework. This light has come into, this life has come into a human thought. It's a beastly thought, like the day that we're living in, the splitting of the atoms. God let the splitting of the atoms come in the end time because the splitting of the atoms have to do with spiritual revelation. How do you understand what I'm saying? What do you get out of atoms? You get atomic power. Somebody said, what do you mean? I mean atomic power can blast this world away. You get translating power. You get the translating power of God, the spirit, the mind, that can completely cause everything to vanish away. Then it was translated by faith, splitting the atoms, God, the spirit, the light, housing himself, hid within darkness, veiling himself within darkness, in a human thought, to split the thought, to take a human concept of a literal printed page, to indoctrinate yourself, and then to break through the intellectual thought of darkness and get down into a spiritual light called revelation, which is the inner mind of Christ. You follow me? No man can come to this light except through the Word. The Bible said concerning Jesus that nothing was made except by him, the Word. For the Spirit, the omnipotent one, the beginning and the end. Why did Jesus say he was the beginning and the end? Because the Bible said in the beginning was the Word. Why does it say in the beginning was the Word? Because if there was a beginning, there had to be a Word. Because the Word's what made the beginning. With God, there is no beginning. God's the great light. God has no beginning. How do you know God has no beginning? God has no end. That's why Jesus is the beginning. Because the great spirit that always was went to create, and the only way he could create was to give forth an utterance. And that very vocal sound, that very utterance, the very utterance became the beginning. The very word that he uttered, that the Spirit uttered, became a beginning. It became a sound. And the Bible said the Spirit created all things by the sound. And without the sound was not anything created that was created. That is, by the Word, God created all things, by the spoken expression. And without the spoken expression was nothing made that was made. How do you understand what I'm saying? There was no beginning with the eternal Spirit. There's no end. But Jesus said, I am the beginning. I am the end, he said. There is a beginning with Jesus. There is an end with Jesus. What was the beginning? It was the Word in the beginning. What is the end of Jesus? It's the Word in the end. Is that right? Is that right? God, Jesus said, Father, restore unto me the joys I had with thee before the world ever was, in the beginning of the world. Have you understand what I'm saying? That's why Jesus was made sin. Light has to frame itself in darkness. The light could never have been shown if Jesus came as the bright light. The bright light would have killed the people. Moses had to put a veil over his face to show the light that was hid within the veil of Jesus. That when the veil was split, the atoms open, the light could come out, the revelation. Are you following me? In other words, Jesus had to be made sin because the light has to veil itself in darkness. You can't see light unless there's a framework. That's why we're caught in the midst of carnality, in the midst of sin, and in the midst of the people. Well, we're not carnal, we're not sinful, we're not children of the devil, but we're children of light. We're children of the Heavenly Father. We're sons of God. Always we've been righteous. Before their world ever was, we was righteous. Never could have been anything else. There never was a spot, never was a blemish. That's why Jesus died, to bring about a justification, a proof that we never did have a spot or a blemish. We always was of him. We're the attributes of his loans. The spiritual framework. Now let's see something just for a minute. And I'm going to close in a minute. I ain't going to hold you much longer. How many just got just a minute more? All right, let's look at it. I want to prove something. Now then, we talk about the rapture taking place. But folks, we're changed from glory to glory, from faith to faith, word to word. I read to you where it said Moses here. By faith he did these things. He did these things by faith. Now how can you be translated tonight by faith? Somebody will say, well, bless God, Brother Pike, if I can be translated by faith, everybody else can. That old drunkard out there to be translated by faith. No, he can't. You know why all men don't have faith? Did you know that all men don't have confidence in this word? All men don't believe this word. All men don't have faith in this word. Only the elect, the predestinated, has faith. The others don't have faith. So then what is it Paul said that we found? For the Lord said, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Before there's ever formed in their mother's womb, before there's ever born, before Judas ever came forth, it said, let another his bishop take. The light being revealed, God veiling himself in darkness. What is it? What is it? Look at the black man. Here's a good example for you. We got some black brethren here. Look at the black man. His life on the inside is the same as your life. But it's veiled in darkness. But it's still life. God has made every man of one blood. All nations of one blood. Eve being the mother of us all. The same blood coming down. The same life coming down. But one life is veiled in the darkness. How do you understand what I'm saying? For the Bible said, out of the darkness God shine. The light spring up to them that sat in the regions of the shadows of death. And them that sat in the darkness God come to them. As a great light, the bright and the morning star, the rose of Sharon. Coming up out of the valley, showing himself, shining darkness, light shining forth out of darkness, for he veiled himself in darkness. Life is in darkness. What's the matter with them people out there? Natural people, carnal people, they are a negative. They don't exist. They are a negative. They don't exist. How did they get here? Because of a surrounding of darkness. If it wasn't for the darkness, they wouldn't even appear. When did the church, the Roman powers, come into existence? It came into existence in the dark age. Isn't that right? Just as quick as the light of the apostles went out, the dark age came in and a negative came in. That wasn't the church. That was the negative of the church. And the same way with the Protestant people. The harlots' daughters today, they're just a negative of the church. But God's got a positive somewhere. That's why these women wear the long dresses. That's why we do like we do. God's developing his positive. It's time to come out. The manifestation of the sons of God. Them people don't exist. That's a carnal mind of darkness. Out there, you take that negative that Atlas got in there. You look through it, all you see is some lines. You look through it, there's nothing there. It's just one big sheet of darkness. And when you try to find the picture, you have to get a light behind it. When you get the light behind it, you look, and all that exists is where the darkness came off. Everywhere the darkness came off, there is a winder light, every little line. So the only image you got is a winder-like image, a transparent image that is outlined by the darkness. Is that right? That's what they are out there. In other words, they don't exist. As soon as Adley gets over here to another part of his process, he drops it in there, and all of a sudden, here comes a positive out of it. Is that right? Here comes a positive, and then when he does away with the image, he finds out there's nothing there. There never was nothing there to start with. It was just a dark surrounding. There was no image. There was no image there to start with. It just took that darkness for you and I to drop into that. In the spiritual perspective of it, when we dropped into that darkness, then the darkness haloed us because we were light. And as we passed on through the darkness, the only life and image there was out there was you and I passing through it, just like the life through the corn. And when we got out here into the positive, there wasn't nothing back there. Are you listening to what I'm saying? All right, let's look at it now. The light fell into darkness. Are you following me? The light fell into darkness. Where? In the beast's mind, the knowledge of good and evil. Isn't that right? But one day the light of the world came. He said, I'm going to unveil it at Calvary. I'm going to unveil it now at Calvary. From now on, it'll be the light. Is that right? From now on, it's in the light. You walk in the light as he is in the light, you'll have fellowship one with another. If you have fellowship one with another, though you don't see the light, he's the invisible God. They endure to see in him who is invisible. Yet because you have fellowship one with another, you love one another, you know that you pass from death unto life, and you're walking in the light as he's in the light. If you separate yourself from each other, you don't love one another, and you mumble and grumble, it's positive proof that he that loveth not his brother abideth in death, the Bible said. If you've got an ault against your brother, then there's something wrong with you. All right, look at it in closing now. There's a lot more things I'd like to say here. But just look at this in closing. So then, the mind is in you. Are you listening? If the mind of the world is in you, then you are in the world. This life, this mind, if it's in you, you are in the world. You want to prove it? You can't walk through that wall, can you? Somebody said, well, what's that got to do with it, Brother Pike? You say, because the mind or the world is in me, which is the world mind. If that mind is within me, then I am in the world. That's exactly right. How can you prove it? Because the same Bible that says that God has placed the world within you also said that the kingdom of God is within you that believe again. So then if the world is in you, then that makes you in the world. When the kingdom of God's within you, that makes you where? It makes you in heaven. That's why the Bible said that God has chosen you out of this world. And you're not of this world, but you're hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. Because if you got the world in you, in the world, it's a world mind. If you got the mind of Christ in you, the kingdom of God, you're in heaven, because it's a heavenly mind. That's why Jesus, when he got up out of the tomb, he walked right through the wall, didn't he? Didn't he? He walked right through the wall. What was the difference? Somebody said, well, he was a spirit. Jesus said, a spirit hath not flesh and bones like I have, said Philemon. He said, I'm just the same as the day that I couldn't walk through the wall. I'm still the same Jesus. I still got flesh and bones. But now I can walk through the wall. Somebody said, well, now what happened to you, Lord? Brother Taylor sings that song, I've changed my mind. I've changed my mind. He was made sin in that body. He was in the captivity of sin. That mind had control of him. Paul said, that outer law that warred in his members wouldn't let that body pass through that. But when he conquered Calvary, the outer man didn't have the upper hand. The inner man had the upper hand. When the inner man got the upper hand, he just walked right through the wall. Mind over matter, is that right? Somebody said, science's mind, no, God's mind. Science's mind didn't create matter. Science's mind, the word science means knowledge. That comes from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's education, that's learning, that's everything contrary to God. But the mind over matter is the mind of God that created all form of matter in the beginning. And when you got that mind, you can turn sticks into gold. Turn tadpoles into pearls. Amen. Turn the stars into jelly beans. Yes, sir. Anything you want to do. Somebody said, now wait a minute, Brother Pike. If we have a bunch of people going around turning the stars into jelly beans, we're going to be in bad shape. The Lord has everything figured out. That mind of Jesus don't function but one way, and that's not to turn the stars into jelly beans. So he don't have to worry about it. It's well pleasing to him. Once you're subjected to it, every one of you will function just alike. It'll be to build up and never tear down. It'll be to love and not hate. Is that right? The fruits of the Spirit will show forth. But oh, what an opportunity you've got, folks. The day where you don't have to bump your head on the wall. The day where you don't have to go down in the dirt and have them throw dirt in your face. The day that you don't have to have a funeral anymore. Amen. Somebody said, can it be? It's absolutely. Absolutely. The day that you don't have to be in poverty. You don't have to be sick. You don't have to have nothing wrong with you. You don't have to have a funeral anymore. Is that right? Wherever Jesus went, they stopped having funerals. Did you know that while he was there? Amen. The widow of Nain, the son, he said, arise. She got up, or he got up. You understand what I'm saying? Study to show thyself approved, a mind. It's a mind, a proper child, Moses, a deliverer, an example, an open door so that people can go into heaven. Are you listening? A mind is an entrance. A mind is an entrance. Your spirit can enter in through a mind. Jesus said, I'm the way. He lets your spirit come in through me into the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God. We are hid with Christ in the Spirit. And what is the Spirit? Heaven. We are hid in heaven. What is heaven? The Spirit. Are you hid with Christ in God? All right, let's stand together. I'm not going to hold you any longer. A great day. A great day. A lot of times we sing a song. There's a great day a-coming. Can you sing it? There's a great day a-coming. There's a great day coming after a while. When the sinner and the saint shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? Sing. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for that judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for that great day to come? Now, you know, see, years ago, they sang, there's a great day coming. They sang that because it was true. But now what ought we to sing? We don't want to sing there's a great day coming, do we? There's a great day that's here. There's a great day that's here. There's a great day that's here for them that believe. Oh, there's a great day that's here. There's a great day that's here. There's a great day for them that believe. Oh, yes, I'm ready. Oh, yes, I'm ready. I'm ready since that great day has come. Oh, yes, I'm ready. Oh, yes, I'm ready. The blood has made me ready for this day. Hallelujah. Love the Lord. Are you ready? The great day when death is conquered and death shall be no more. The great day of the mind that was in the garden where man could not die. The great mind of peace and joy. The great translating faith that comes from the great mind that's within us. To have the faith is to have the mind. To have the mind is to have the faith. And that faith by which we're translated, we received it from part to part. Change from faith to faith, from glory to glory, as this mind has been revealed to us through the ministry. The great day is here. The great day is here. The great day is here. What should we do? Believe, my brother. Believe, my brother. Believe with all your heart. Believe with all your heart. Believe what? Believe what the Word said. What did the Word say? I'm in heaven. I'm in heaven. What did the Word say? I'm in heaven. Jesus said, Nicodemus, I'm in heaven. Nicodemus couldn't understand because he said, I see your bone and flesh. Walked through the wall and they couldn't understand because they saw his flesh and bone. He said, I'm in heaven. I'm in heaven. What should I believe? What the Word said. What should the preacher preach? What the Word said. What should you believe? The church. What the Word said. What the Spirit said. The Word is the Spirit. Hear what the Word said to the church. What does the Word say? By His stripes you're healed. Amen. The Word says we've passed over Jordan. The Word said we've passed. Not going to pass. But we've passed from death into life. How do we do it? Over the Jordan of baptism. From the old carnal mind of death into the mind of Christ. For to be carnally minded is to death. For why? The carnal mind is the tree of knowledge of your own reasoning and understanding that you're born with in the beast realm from the fall of Adam. But the pure mind, David said, is stirred up. The clean mind, the holy mind. Where is that at? Here. Where is the mind of knowledge, the lust of your flesh, the passion, the human senses? But where is the mind of Christ? In your heart. In your heart. Are you listening? It's in your heart. Then as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. What do you think? Somebody says, I think I don't know what I think. But I think I do know what I think. I think I'm in heaven. Have you ever thought like that? I said, I think I'm in heaven. Somebody said, you're hoping. No, I'm not hoping. I done read something that I believe in. And that believing gave me a confidence. And it made me think like that. And since I think I'm in heaven, then where must I be? I'm in heaven. I think I'm in heaven. I think I've overcome the devil. I think that the devil and all of his evil don't exist anymore for me. It exists in the world and in the mind of the world, and the mind of the world's gone. And the devil's been cast out, and he belongs to the world, and he's the prince of the world. I'm up here in heaven. He's not up here. I've overcome the tempter. How did I do it? The Bible said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, what was done at Calvary. And the word of their testimony, what was that? Their confession of faith to the atonement. Overcame him. And I passed from death into life. I think that. I think that. I think I'm alive forevermore. I think that. That's what Enoch thought. And one day, he found like Jesus. He just could walk right through the wall. The barriers of time meant nothing. They meant nothing. He just transcended the gravitational powers of earth and went on to be with God. What did he do? He went into the Spirit. Jesus said, I come from the Spirit, I go back to the Spirit. Is that right? Where did you come from? Some of you came from the dust, you go back to the dust. Amen. Where did some of you come from? You come from the Spirit, you go back to the Spirit. Is that right? He that is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Is that right? How can you be born of Spirit if you didn't come from the Spirit? Is that right? You couldn't be born of the dust and be Spirit. How could you? The first man, Adam, was made a living soul of the dust. The beast image, we born that image. But now one eternal in the Spirit in the heavenlies, not made with hand, this image we also bear. Peter said, for the first be dissolved, I got another one, the second one. The body of Jesus Christ, the image of the Lord, the Son of God. Is that right? Are you listening? Do you care? Do you want to be translated? You want to die? Go by the way of the grave? Go through the tribulation? Hallelujah. I think I made it. So you think you did? I think I did. What makes you think you did? Because I read somewhere where he said I did. I read where he said I was perfected forever, passed from death into life. And that nobody could lay anything to my charge, that I was without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. Predestinated to that extent, and that end. Is that right? Jesus said, he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. Is that right? Who's going to endure to the end? The predestinated. Nobody else can. Can't nobody endure to the end but the predestinated. They can't do anything else but endure to the end. Is that right? Somebody say amen. If you believe it, hallelujah. That's what translates, is believing it. Let's sing a little chorus together. Oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face, of his unveiled face, of his unveiled face. Oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face. It's the glory that is changing me. Is it changing you from light to light? Light changes you. Is that right? Is that right? It changes you. What is it, 186,000 miles per second? Is that right? moving fast. It changes you. If you could shoot a bullet, and that bullet would move so fast. The heat, the friction, it would move so fast, it would change it back into its original elements. It would decompose and go back to its originality. Isn't that right? If I'm of the Spirit and I can transcend the powers of this earth and move like the laser beam at the speed of the light of God, I'll decompose from this old outer man. I'll go back to my original image. Is that right? I go back to God. I came from God. I go back to God. I go back to that which I come from. Hallelujah. Let's sing that again, can we? Oh, the light of the glory of His.